For hardly a single one of the base performs sacrifice in truth, even if he leads up 10,000 oxen continually every day. For the most fitting victim of all has been maimed in him, the mind, and it is not lawful for maimed things to touch the altars. This second argument has now been stated, showing that being made drunk is not foreign to the man of worth. The third depends on a differing but persuasive account of etymology. For some think that meth, drunkenness, is so called not only because it is accomplished after sacrifice, but also because it becomes a cause of the release methesis of the soul. Now what is released in the foolish is their slack self-control, released into a further outpouring of errors. But what is released in the sensible is released into the enjoyment of relaxation and good cheer and gladness. For the wise man, once affected by wine, becomes more agreeable to himself than he is when sober, so that we would not go wrong even on this ground in saying that he will be made drunk. And besides these points, this too must be said, that the form of wisdom is not sullen and stern, drawn tight with gloom and dejection, but on the contrary cheerful and calm, full of gladness and joy, under the influence of which a man is often led forward to play and jest in no unrefined way. Yet a playfulness that resounds together with dignity and seriousness into the blending of a single melody, as in a well-tuned lyre with answering notes. In the sacred writing of Moses, at any rate, the end of wisdom is play and laughter, not the sort of things all infants practice without understanding, but the sort practiced by those who have already grown gray, not only in years but in good counsels. Do you not see that the man who is drawn from knowledge by his own hearing, his own learning, and his own working, he says, does not merely partake of laughter, but is himself laughter? This is Isaac, whose name is interpreted, laughter, with whom it is fitting to play together with endurance, whom the Hebrews call Rebekah. But the divine play of the soul is not lawful for a private person to see. It is permitted only to the king with whom wisdom has dwelt for a very long time as a neighbor, even if it has not dwelt within him for the whole of eternity. This king is called Abimelech, who, peering through the window, that is, through the opened and light-bearing eye of the understanding, saw Isaac playing with Rebekah his wife. For what other work is fitting for a wise man than to play, and to be radiant with joy, and to rejoice together with the endurance of noble things? From all this, it is clear that he will indeed be made drunk, since drunkenness forms character and produces both relaxation and benefit. For unmixed wine seems to intensify and heighten whatever qualities are already present by nature, whether good ones or their opposites, just as many other things do as well. Since wealth too is a cause of good things, but, as someone said, of evils to the evil man. And again, reputation makes the vice of the fool more conspicuous, but the virtue of the just man more renowned. So too, then, unmixed wine, once poured out, makes the man given over to the passions more subject to passion, but makes the man given to good states of feeling more benevolent and gracious. Who indeed does not know that, when one of two opposite kinds applies to a greater number, the other kind must necessarily follow as well? For instance, since white and black are opposites, if white belongs to both the refined and the base, then black too, presumably in equal measure, will belong to both alike, not to only one of the two groups. Now sobriety and drunkenness are likewise opposites, and both good men and base men partake of sobriety, as the earlier argument showed. So that drunkenness too applies to each of the two kinds. Therefore the refined man too will be made drunk, without casting away any part of his virtue. But if, as in a court of law, one ought to make use not only of proofs based on art, but also of the so-called artless proofs, of which one is that furnished through witnesses, we shall produce as witnesses many well-reputed sons of physicians and philosophers, who have signified their testimony not only in words but also in writings. For they have left behind countless treatises entitled On Drunkenness, in which they examine only the bare use of wine by itself, without further inquiring into those who are accustomed to babble nonsense, but passing over the whole category of drunken behavior. So that even among these it is most clearly agreed that to be drunk was the same as to be affected by wine. And to have drunk a fair quantity of wine at the appropriate time would not be a worse thing for the wise man. We shall not, then, go wrong in saying that he will be made drunk. but since no one is recorded as winning a contest fought against himself, and if he does contend in such a way, he would rightly seem to be shadow boxing rather. It is necessary also to state the arguments that establish the opposite case, so that the judgment reached may be most just, with neither side condemned by default. The first and strongest argument is this. If one would not reasonably entrust a secret to a man who is drunk, but one would to a person of good character, then the person of good character is not drunk. But before stringing the other arguments together in sequence, it is better to argue against each of the propositions individually, so that we do not seem to trouble the reader further by speaking at length. Someone opposing this will say that, according to the argument as stated, the wise man will never be melancholic, nor will he sleep, nor will he die at all. And whoever experiences none of these things is either soulless or divine, and could not be a human being at all. For imitating the pattern of the argument, one will apply this same reasoning to the melancholic person, or the sleeping person, or the dying person. No one would reasonably entrust a secret to such a person, but to the wise man one reasonably would. Therefore, the wise man is neither melancholic, nor asleep, nor dying.